All right, welcome to the show, Growth Mindset University. Today I have a very special guest, and his name is Steve Jordan. Steve is a celebrity personal trainer in Los Angeles, where he has been running his studio for 10 years. His clients have included Jordan Belfort, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, Ariana Huffington, Brad Paisley, Amy Poehler, Cy Young Award winner Barry Zito, Quincy Jones, and many, many more. And so we talk about what it's like to work with those sorts of people. We talk about his experiences at working at the White House. When he was my age in college at the University of Maryland, he worked as a trainer in the White House. We talk about the hardships he has faced over his career and his life, because it seems as if he's been down many times, but not necessarily out. He underwent emergency brain surgery to essentially save his life when he was my age. He went from six figures in the bank to six figures in debt, back to six figures in the bank. Then we talk about him getting married at the age of 41. We also dive into the healthy and fit lifestyle and creating change from the inside out. And then we go into his new book coming out on September 23rd called I Am Healthy and Fit. It's a book all about identity. And it really starts with why. At the little sneak peek that I got, he starts with why, in that we must establish that we know why we do what we do. That is the foundation of creating change. And then at the very end, we talk about what life beautifully designed looks like to him. And his answer was very genuine and peaceful, and I really enjoyed it. I found peace in it. So enjoy the show. Sit back wherever you are. If you're cleaning, cooking, driving, working out, enjoy and take this all in, and I will catch you on the flip side. This was a really fun interview, and I know you'll love it. Peace. All right. Great to have you here, Steve.
It's great to be here,
yeah,
Jordan.
It's my last day here in LA. We crushed it at the studio today. We were productive. Got a podcast done for you, right?
Absolutely.
And then saw a lot of clients today, early morning, 6:30 a.m.
Yeah, it was a busy day. It was a tough one for me. Second day back from my trip in Rome and still feeling a little jet lagged,
right?
But we got it done, as we always do.
As always. So you got sort of you have a really cool story. We'll get into it. I know you were talking about that today. I heard you talking about it on your podcast, but we're gonna talk about it some more, because I think there's a ton of value that my listeners can get from it, because there's a recurring theme, and you said it in the car last night. And it's almost like cliche in a way, but it's not. Like, it's just, the recurring theme is never give up. You've been down and out like so many times.
Very true.
Even today, when you recorded 20 minutes of a podcast, and it got freaking deleted, the whole thing.
I was so pissed.
I was pissed for you. I was feeling down and out.
Yeah. But I got back up, and I believe I produced a much better quality one.
And you did a 30-minute one. I said, look, this is a chance for you to do it better. And you went out and you crushed it. You went and did it better. We just got to trust the process, right? It always turns out all right in the end.
Absolutely. There's nothing that comes easy. And if it does, then it's probably too good to be true.
Right.
There are those outliers and those special occasions where someone might have a grandiose amount of luck and gets really, a shot at something. But you know what? I think I've worked with a lot of very successful people, billionaires, millionaires, leaders of people and companies and organizations, and I don't know any one of them would ever sit and say life is easy or work is easy and, life is void of hard times or challenging times. And there's a saying that I have with my clients. It's not how hard you fall. It's how quickly you pick yourself back up, because no one is perfect. And when someone is dieting or exercising, like they're going to do their best and then they're going to fail. Like they're going to eat something that's not in the nutrition plan that I make for them. And it's just not having four or five of those times.
Right.
It's do it once. If it's a mistake, you recognize it and you pick yourself back up and get back on the plan.
You mentioned, your very successful clients, which I do want to talk about in a second. But would you agree that adversity is kind of the prerequisite to success, any sort of success?
Prerequisite, I don't know about prerequisite, but I think it's part of the process. I don't know if somebody has, you know, many people are motivated by different things. Some people are motivated by adversity. You know, when people have a big failure or a breakdown or a loss, then they are more motivated to break through from that. But there are others that don't necessarily need it. I think there are different reasons for motivation. So I wouldn't say that it's necessarily a prerequisite, but I do think that it can be an advantage. I think during the process of gaining success and on the road to success, those adversities will come into play, and it's, you know, how you learn to manage those. One of my most successful clients, a billionaire client, he once told me it is really about how you manage the adversities and the challenges in your life that really make you successful.
Right.
I think people often mismanage or they don't react in ways that they should to adversity. That could be even with your own personal decisions. You know, people get really hard on themselves, and I think that's what people spiral out of and into an even darker place when, say, somebody's on a diet and they falter and they eat something bad off the plan. You know, they beat themselves up and talk negative about themselves, like I'm terrible and I'm a loser, or, you know, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm this, I'm that. And then what that does is it just puts them into a deeper, darker spot and puts them into a position to be more vulnerable and cheat more and do worse things. So,
right.
You know, if you go from a position from, you know, a failure or a breakdown, and, you know, you just say, you know, listen, I made a mistake, I'm human, and I learned from it, I realized what I did or what I didn't do, and now I'm going to do better. And you take the actions to do what you need to.
Mm-hmm. So do I have permission to do maybe like, I mean, because I'm always kind of like in awe at the list of clients, you know, the people that you've trained. Do I have permission to name drop maybe like a couple or no?
Sure.
Should I not?
Go ahead. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So
go for it.
You know, what is it like working with people like Jordan Belfort, Ariana Huffington, Brad Paisley, Spider-Man,
yeah.
Tobey Maguire? And that's just the beginning of the list. But I mean, who was the first one? Who was like the first big one? And were you like super nervous going over to the house? Cause I assume it was an in-home client.
That's a really good question. You know, all those four people that you named were awesome, all great within their own respect and really fun to work with in different challenging, fun ways. The first person that I worked with that had a lot of fame and celebrity status was actually not an in-home client, and it was not here in Los Angeles.
Oh.
It was back in New York City when I first started working in New York City as a personal trainer, health and fitness coach. And that client was Ann Curry, the TV anchor for the Today Show.
Right.
Very well known, super sweet, very humble. I got an opportunity to work with her, and then I had several opportunities to be on the show and had national exposure and some really cool things that had come from that. And yeah, I was really nervous working with her at first, but she was just a very humble person and kind and thoughtful and generous and sweet that I very quickly got over it, you know. And I think that it was probably one of my strong suits. I've never really been, I want to say I've never been starstruck, but I've never been intimidated by stardom or people of fame or status. Because actually one of my first career jobs, and I'm not sure if you know this, but was at the White House.
Yeah.
So I was a trainer at the White House. So, you know, although Ann Curry was a very famous person that I worked with, had a lot of celebrity notoriety, I did work at the White House where I had to have clearance and It was a very big honorable position where I worked not necessarily with the president, but I worked with congressmen and senators and staff of the president, very respectful people and, you know, political in the political world.
Was it Clinton at the time?
It was. Yeah, it was 1997 to 1998.
Oh, the year I was born.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, jeez. Wow. Thanks for making me feel old, buddy. I know that I am older than you. I sometimes sometimes feel like I could be your dad, and I could be right age, but yeah.
So good. So I wanted to talk about the down and out. I guess the first time, I didn't even write this on here, but maybe the first time you were like, I wouldn't say this is down and out, but you were kind of behind almost a little bit. You were saying how, you know, the people you hung out, you always hung out with people that were older than you. And I can kind of relate there. I hang out with people that are older than me for the most part, and I always feel like I'm behind the learning curve, so to say. And I guess you felt the same way. But then the next thing was it falling off the roof? Was that the first? Oh yeah, that was the first one. That was the first one. The next one was the studio. But the first time. Yeah, tell me about the falling off the roof of your traumatic brain injury.
Yeah, so I mean the adversity. I mean you can't even put it into words. You know, something as traumatic as that is life changing, altering for good or bad. Looking back on that incident that happened 23 years ago. Before you were even born, was one of the best things that ever happened to me, which is crazy to think. You know, if you ever did something, the only way I could describe it is if you had ever done something, you know, and it was challenging at the time, and then you look back and you think about the lessons you learned from it or the growth that you had from it, and the experiences that you were able to have some sort of revelation from, and this is what happened to me in that moment. I mean, I won't go into too much detail about it because if you want to, you can listen to my podcast, the one I just put out, called The Miracle of Health and Fitness, part one, and then part two will be out soon. But it's, you know, the fall taught me a lesson about, you know, adversity is much bigger than just, it's bigger than emotional, right? So I went through very physical trauma, obviously. I crushed my head and had traumatic brain injury and had brain surgery. So I had a lot of physical trauma that I had to overcome, and the pain and suffering literally from that. I remember lying in bed where the whole left side of my head was cut open. I had over a staple, over 100 staples and stitches in my head and a big horseshoe scar. I remember months after, like maybe 2 months maybe after the accident, where I'd was comfortable sleeping enough where in the middle of the night I'd roll from my right side, which was the more comfortable side, the side that didn't have the trauma on, and rolled over in the middle of the night onto my left side and wake up in agony because of the pain from the where they cut through my skull,
right?
You know, because the muscles and tissues were all healing. So I mean that was terrible. It hurt a lot. So but with that, you know, those kinds of experiences, you learn about like pain and suffering is temporary, you know, and no matter what anybody's going through, like that physical trauma I was going through, the emotional trauma, I don't know how to put it into words, but it was just the darkest moments of my life. But I learned to use some of the skills I had as a child growing up, being not always the smartest, the brightest, or the strongest, or the most athletic, and the youngest, and being picked on and bullied, and maybe even being the better looking one of many of my friends, and being picked on for being better looking. You know, like there was just nothing I had or could do that was like okay. You know, people always, friends or peers or even just people in my school would find something to pick on me for whatever reason. So I even got picked on for having abs and having a good body. Like, I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, I get picked on for eating healthy all the time.
Yeah, I mean, people were just, right, there was nothing I could do, right? I think that's the human nature of things. And I think it's just, again, how you react to it, right? I just brushed it off and used it as strength. And in this, I used it as strength as well, where I had such a burning desire to want to overcome all of what I was going through and come out on the other end, not just the person I was, but a better person of who I was, a better version of myself.
Right.
So I actually celebrate September 23rd as a birthday, and it's my second birthday.
Mm-hmm.
February 3rd is my first birthday, 1975, and my second birthday is September 23rd, 1994. And it was a rebirth. It was a new, I learned a whole lot from that experience of 3+ years of recovery and several other surgeries to repair myself to full recovery to who I am today and what I am both personally and professionally and how I present myself in the world. And, you know, the ultimate goal of leaving a legacy from that experience.
Mm-hmm. So then the second time you were down and out, I actually just learned this last night, the whole story with your studio. So you'd gotten to LA in like 2002, and then you opened up a studio in 2008.
That's right.
And we all know what happened in 2008. You opened the studio.
It was actually 2007 when I signed the lease at the end of 2007 in like November, and I started build out in January of 08 and opened in April 2008.
Right.
Or, yeah, 2008.
And then do you remember what month exactly the crash was?
The crash, I don't know exactly. I mean, I don't know if it was exactly... I'm not too wise or keen on some of those dates, but I do know it just happened over time. I don't know if it was like a sudden day or week, like the crash of, 1922 or anything like that. But I do know that and a lot of my clients were not necessarily affected by it initially, like many other people who had not as financially savvy or financially responsible. Many of my clients were financially responsible because they're very rich. Mm-hmm. And when people are very rich in the capacity in which mine were, they managed their money well and they had people managing their money and they probably saw and anticipated a lot of this going on. However, over time, the worldview of scarcity and the worldview of fear and the worldview of unknowing what more could happen that started to create this implosion, if you will, of my business, where I went from abundance and having complete like crazy rock star, Hollywood trainer to the stars, flying on private jets, flying in helicopters from the south of France to Paris and living in, crazy bungalow, like crazy mansions and crazy villas in the south of France. And, I would take advantage of going out with some of my clients and I had crazy fun nights with just the coolest experiences, meeting Bono like at a bar and club and talking to him, just like crazy stuff that I look back on and I'm in awe even of it today.
So then you went from that, and then all of a sudden the economy crashes.
Boom.
And you're like putting yourself to sleep in the afternoon because you didn't have clients and it was so miserable. And then you're walking home one day and your car's getting repossessed.
My beautiful car, my dream car. It was a 2008 M3 performance model.
So it was like brand new.
It was pretty brand. It was like about a year old. It was dope. It was one of the coolest cars, still probably to this day. I mean, I had it all tricked out. I had put like new exhaust on it, AC Snitcher exhaust. I had put probably $8,000 into it on top of the, what it was. And it just was dope. And I was walking home one afternoon to put myself to sleep. I had just a couple clients that just stayed with me. Many of them fell off because I opened my studio and they didn't want to travel to my studio anymore because I was doing in-homes for them and they just couldn't spend the time and the commute that I was able to spend to go see them. And, or some of them maybe just didn't want to spend the money anymore. And it just became a just terrible. And I was walking home and I saw this car being put on the flatbed, and I was managing my debts because I had very little money coming in. I had no more money in the bank, and I had over, you know, six figures in debt from loans and bills and things that were piling up.
Yeah, I went from money in the bank to six figures in debt.
I had six figures in the bank to six figures in debt. And it was, I had no debt. I was cash positive before I opened my studio. And people don't realize, they think this dream of like owning a business is really like, you know, it's cool, but there's overhead and there's responsibilities and there's things you got to manage and you got to take care of, all this stuff that are, that is behind the scenes that you don't see, right? And so I saw my car being put on, and that was like one of the lowest points in that time. And from that moment, like, I had to borrow money from my friend to get it out. I had to borrow like $4,000 to get it out of the impound. And, you know, I promised them that I'd pay them back, and I did within, you know, maybe a year. And I had to borrow money from a client in New York that loaned me $10,000, just as a little bit of seed money to help me with no interest. And then I borrowed another $20,000 from another client here, who was a very successful producer, who really, he valued me and he trusted me, and he loaned me $20,000, but with a 5% interest on it, with no expiration date on it, just whenever I could. I paid them both back and was very grateful and wrote them letters and of thanks and gratitude. But you know, it was a very challenging time. And so that little seed money helped me to kind of just give me a little bit of a float to be able to help create some space and room for me to get creative. And the creativity was humbling because it went from a time when I was very successful billing a lot for one individual session to literally almost giving sessions away for free just to get people into my studio and into my zone, so I could start feeling like I was doing something. Because I got into this business not to make money necessarily. Yeah, money was important. You know, it was to have that success, but it was about creating differences in people's lives. The way that health and fitness created a difference in my life during the adversities, more importantly, the adversity of having my head trauma, how it helped me to overcome that, how it helped me to grow up and become the person I am today. I knew that that could be the tool for many people as well. Many people come to me to look for maybe weight loss or, you know, better health or better fitness and strength and flexibility and all these other variables. But really, it can also be a tool for you to help build a better quality of life when and if life throws a curveball at you, or you know, if God forbid something traumatic happens in the way that it did for me, it gives you the tools within to be able to overcome, or at least have the potential to overcome. So I got back to those principles, those core principles of passion, love, and abundance. And when I got back to those core principles, rather than looking for money, things started to turn out for the best. And it didn't happen in a week, and it didn't happen in a month. It took years. It took probably almost 3.5 years of a lot of dedication to that process of, again, going back to those core values of passion, love, and abundance, and creating opportunity and sacrificing money for a couple years to help grow the momentum, to help grow the business. And, you know, thank God it's been now about six years of profits to be able to create, you know, the lifestyle now that I'm living, back on top, debt-free, abundance, you know, and feeling amazing and creating really awesome opportunities for clients in ways that they have never experienced before. You know, that's what is probably one of the most common, one of the common feedbacks I get is that, wow, I've never done this before, or this is so unique, or this is really cool, or this is interesting, or wow, you've got this kind of tool, or that, and that's what I want to do for people. I want to create a unique, extraordinary experience so that they have a hard time leaving, or they have, if they do leave, which I am okay if people leave. I know it's nothing personal. Sometimes it's just good for both. That they'll never forget, and that they'll always remember me, and that they'll always remember some of the lessons that I taught them, because they are lessons that I often teach that can be used for life. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool story, man. I mean, you go, you know, emergency brain surgery, you know, six figures in debt is like this up and down kind of rocky road. And, you know, now you're on the up. Yeah. You're on the up. And it's, you've been on the up for a while. You're trending up, it looks like.
Yeah. And, you know, and what's interesting is the trend now is more stable and steady rather than before. It was quick.
Mm.
And I was kind of immature at that time when it came out quick. You know, I was spending in ways that I probably shouldn't have. I wasn't investing in ways that I probably should have. You know, I got myself ahead of myself where I just thought it was never going to end. I think many people at that time thought it was never going to end either.
Did you get full of yourself?
Yeah. Dude. Very full of myself. Yeah. Yes. Very full of myself. Okay. Because it was like the first time I was making money in that capacity. And, you know, it felt really good. Money definitely has a way to create a really positive, positive feelings, you know, that. And, but now because I went through that, I will never go back there again.
Right.
I live beneath my means. I don't even have a car now.
Yeah. Which
I just,
you went from Porsche.
I went from Porsche to no car.
That I've been impressed by that. I don't have the ability to do that yet.
Yeah.
I don't have that maturity.
It does come with maturity. It was definitely hard going from another dream car of having a Porsche to, you know, it was awesome. And I love them for their performance and their brand and what, you know, what they represent as far as a status, but I also drive them for their performance. I take them to the track and have fun with them and really drive them the way they're intended to be driven to see what that feels like, which is an awesome fun experience. Yeah. You should do one time. Maybe I'll take you next time when you come out, we'll go to the track. But yeah, it's been actually probably one of the best decisions I've made in the past year. It's been a little over a year now that I haven't had a car, and I will tell you the headaches that I save, the little stressors of like where I park or if I get a ding on the car or if coming off of a curb. When I first got my Porsche, that thing was so low. When I first got it, I drove it into my driveway, drove it out, and I scratched up the whole bottom of the window because it was so low. I bottomed out. You know, those kinds of things, like, it just, like, it's better not to have that. I spent so much money on cars in the past 10 years that I'm grateful now I don't have a car payment. My wife and I have one car between the two of us, and it's a great little car, a Mini Cooper, and it's fun. We zip around, but, you know, like, you saw the ding on it, you know, and I backed up into a pole with it because I didn't see it because I don't have a camera on it, and I don't have, you know, any... the fancy gadgets. It's totally base model. But I bought it outright and I own it, and I don't really, I mean, yeah, I'll get it fixed, but I'm not totally worried about it. It's just a little ding. But if I had it in my Porsche, I'd be like wanting to get it fixed right away. And instead of it costing $1,000, it costs $4,000, you know? So it feels good not to have that kind of responsibility.
Right. You mentioned, your wife Yuki, and one of the other unique things about you is that you got married at what, like 41?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So there is a point in my life, it's been kind of like back and forth where, you know, I always wanted a girlfriend in high school, and then towards the end of high school, and you know, I met you, I was like, oh, I'm not getting married till I'm 40, like Steve. And then, you know, when I got to college, I was, you know, swooning over all these girls, and I was like, I kind of needed one. I felt like I needed one. And now it's like, dude, I don't care. You know, like whatever happens, happens. Like what are the advantages? I mean, to getting married at 41. I mean, because I see people getting married at 19. I know two of them actually. One of them, I was with this girl, and then 2 months later, after we had finished, she got married.
Wow.
She got engaged and then married within 2 months.
Wow.
But I just think, getting married that young, the statistics, they prove it, you know.
Yeah.
The divorce rates are exponentially higher. I mean, they're already pretty high, but I feel like at 41, it's kind of a different story. It's like a different approach. You know, what are the advantages to getting married at 41?
Well,
and I'm asking, this is like a selfish question. I need to know this, the details here.
Yeah, well, I would say because I got married at 41, you know, the fun that I had in my 20s and 30s was beyond fun. Like it was, that's the time when you should be having fun. I mean, the stories that I wish I could tell.
I've heard some of them.
were crazy. You know, many of my friends, your uncle was someone that got married young, and many of my other friends got married young. I mean, they all lived vicariously through me, and I had a lot of really good relationships as well during that time too. I had a lot of fun being single and dating, and you know, or short-term relationships, but I also had some really positive year plus relationships with some really awesome girls, and those relationships were probably more valuable than even some of the, you know, the short-term ones. But it was more about fun, you know, being free, being uninhibited, being able to, one of the other advantages that comes to mind is being opportunistic, right? So being able to do what you needed to do, where you needed to do it. Like I was dating a girl in New York City, awesome girl. We lived together over a year dating, and we had a great relationship. And there was nothing kind of wrong with the relationship, to be honest. Like I just found in my heart and in my soul that I needed to move to California to follow my dreams, to be a trainer to the stars, to be in the location of where the stars resided, or where people with influence and money or the education of fitness and wellness was. It's like where the epicenter was, and I wanted to be in that epicenter. Right, I wanted to be the game changer,
and you were on the cover of National Academy of Sports Medicine textbook.
I was an educator. And you're right, man. I've achieved a lot, and I'm so grateful for that. And that's that hard work that I put into it. But you know, with this gal, like I wanted to move, and I remember having the conversation with her. I said, I need to move to California, and I know that you don't want to and won't, but I have to go. And if I were married, I probably would have held back and stayed back for the relationship rather than going and moving to California.
And the whole course, and the whole of thing,
the whole
different.
Course of my life would have been different. Like, maybe not worse, but who knows? You know, I mean, I was doing very well in New York. I had a great career there, but I just knew that California was better suitable for me for the next level of growth that I wanted in my professional life and in personal life. And so I was able to, without ties, move. And, you know, unfortunately that relationship unraveled, but, you know, if I were married, that wouldn't have happened. Right. And so I was able to be more flexible with decisions that I needed to make for business and within my own personal life for my own personal growth. And at 41, you know, getting married was not easy. It wasn't because you have so much time doing it a certain way, you know, and having, you know, success in dating and being in that world, that settling down is not easy, and it still isn't, you know, even being married after 2 years, you know, and with her for four, it's been a challenge of not wanting to revert back to, you know, that old lifestyle. And so, but I think that the grass is always greener on the other side, and we have a great relationship and very stable and solid. And I, you know, I'm better with her than without. So.
I gotcha. Yeah. Okay, cool. So maybe transition a little bit here. You have a book coming out in September, on September 23rd, which is the anniversary of your accident, your traumatic brain injury.
Yes.
And it's really, you know, the whole, it's kind of like, it's about identity almost. I mean, in health and fitness, it's like the whole thing is I am. It's called I Am Healthy and Fit, with really the emphasis being on I am. Like you kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, but you kind of just declare it to be true, and it kind of become, explain to me a little more about your book and the philosophy of I Am. I want to know about the philosophy of I Am.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It is an identity of being healthy and fit, because it's a lifestyle, right? It's just not something you do once in a while. Right. Like, to be healthy and fit, it's a lifestyle. It's not exercise, not diet, it's a lifestyle. And so that I am, when you declare anything I am, you could be, it could be a negative, like I am ugly.
Yeah.
I am a loser. I am poor. You become that. Yeah. And or you act like that. So you know, in my process of, you know, the past 20 plus years of my career, I found certain tools and certain ways of being able to create and influence people, and found, but through one of my mentors, Tony Robbins, that language is one of the most important tools to create change from the inside out. And when I learned that, I didn't really know that, but I was already using that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, as an opportunity to create change for my clients and or for myself. And so once I learned that as more of a science and as a real theory,
science.
I took on like that I am for myself and started to use powerful phrases for myself, like I am healthy and fit, or I am rich, or I am abundant.
I will recover.
I will recover. Yeah. You know, I am full, whole, and complete. Yeah. Is another one that I've used. Yeah. And so
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, I am full, whole, and complete. Uh-huh. Right. Uh-huh. So everything that I have is within me now.
Full.
I am whole, full, and complete.
Uh-huh. Yeah. People always say, like, you know, my other half. It's my biggest pet peeve. Like, you know.
Yeah, I know
about
what you're talking about.
Like my reaction to that is like, screw that. You know, you don't go into a relationship as half. I mean, you can, but it's not. I don't think it's gonna be a healthy relationship, especially if it ends too. You should go into a relationship whole or not at all.
Yeah, true.
I just felt the need to interject on that part.
No, I think that's a great conversation there. A whole nother podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's a good one. So the I am healthy and fit is an incantation or a mantra, if you will, that starts to direct your life towards being healthy and fit. As soon as you read that title, you're one step closer to being healthy and fit. Mm-hmm. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Right.
So, you know, like, that's what's really cool is that as soon as you read that title, boom, you're in the game. And the book is about the process of that game. And there are different skill sets in there, and there's different lessons, and there's practices and assessments and ways in which you're going to be able to use a formula that I've worked with my clients for over 20 plus years to be able to create a healthy and fit life, not just in the moment, but for life.
Right.
And it's forever. If you do this, it will be forever.
Yeah. Cause you start off with the foundation. Of course I've taken a peek into the book a little bit, but you start with why.
Yeah.
I think it's like one of the first chapters, like, it's know your why.
That's right.
And I think that's so important. Like, if you don't know why you do what you do, you're not going to care. And why should anyone else care? And just why should you give a crap about anything in your life? There's no substance there. It's just, everything's empty. Like, if you don't know your why, you're not going to do anything.
Yeah. And that's what I think one of the biggest limiting factors for success in any realm, but especially in health and fitness. You know, people think their why is, well, I want to look good. Well, why do you want to look good? Well, I just recently got single and I want to attract somebody else. Okay, well, there is a deeper reason why. Now, you, because you want to feel loved, because you want companionship, because you want partnership, right? And so when you start to peel away the layers of the onion and get deeper into your why, and get to the core, right? No pun intended, of your why, then your reasons for doing it will become more appealing. And when your alarm goes off at 6 a.m. to go to the gym, all you have to do is remind yourself of your why, and you're going to get yourself out of bed. And it will be more likely. You'll fail, and you'll hit the snooze button and turn off and not show up to the gym. But you just keep going back to your why. And like you said, the foundation, you'll always remain healthy and fit. And as long as you use that incantation as a positive tool where you can do it, say it, be it anywhere. You'll always have that as an opportunity to keep growing.
Yeah. So clarity of vision in, quality of life out. That's equation
right
there.
Yeah. Right on, brother.
Yeah. So this is kind of a quicker question. What is the best investment you've ever made? It doesn't have to be monetary. It can be monetary, but anything, maybe a purchase, maybe a decision, something.
I know. Ooh, I had one. I had one, and I'm going to say it because it was and still is probably one of the best investments I've ever made. It's called the DMS, the Deep Muscle.
Oh, yeah.
The Deep Muscle Stimulator. It's a handheld vibration tool that helps to stimulate muscle tissue in a vibrating capacity to help break scar tissue up, adhesions, increase circulation, reduce pain, increase healing time, and it just feels good. It's like getting a massage and like an hour massage in 5 minutes or less in certain areas. So that tool is $3,000, and it's a very expensive tool, and there's a lot of people that would love to have it but don't want to spend that kind of money. I learned that using it with my mentor and colleague, Dr. Michael Clark, who was the president of NASM when I was working with them. And I got to see it used with clients like Shaquille O'Neal and Wayne Gretzky and other very well-known, you know, athletes. And I saw that power of its influence there using it with them. And when I left them and went off on my own, I purchased one about 13 years ago. And it was a big investment at the time, but it has paid itself off exponentially because the healing and the ability to create something for clients when nobody else could and would was huge. It was my specialty. Yeah. It was like my calling card. When I had my in-home clients, they'd be like, I heard you had this vibrating machine. Could you bring it over? And it was always, especially when a woman would call, I heard you have this vibrating machine. Could you please bring it over? I'd be like, yes, I can. And now they are making tools like it for much cheaper. So, you know, it's not as novel as it once was because, you know, that's just how it rolls, you know. But this one is like stainless steel, weighs like 5 pounds. But when you use this one, even compared to the other ones, this one still is far above the best. So that was probably one of the best purchases I've made professionally. Personally, I'll go personally with this as well. Apple stock.
Apple
stock.
Me too.
I bought Apple stock, I want to say 13 years ago, 14 years.
Yeah,
13
okay.
years
I wish
ago.
I wish I did it then.
And, you know, I didn't have a whole lot. I remember I bought 4 shares at the time. I bought it at like 150. And that was 12 years, 13 years ago. That was before it split.
A couple of times.
And I just put little by little into it and just believed in its process. And, you know, now it's the number one company in the world. It's a company I actually work with now that has sought me out as a health and fitness professional. One of my other mentors, Jay Blonick, who works in the Apple Watch capacity there. He's the brains and brawn behind many of the innovations with the Apple Watch. He's an extraordinary fitness professional who's catapulted a spinning career. He was a spin instructor he was an entrepreneur, businessman, into now becoming one of the most powerful people over at Apple.
Oh yeah.
Because he is in charge of that Apple Watch, which is one of their products that they covet over there. And
so
he
got a fitness guy. Right?
Yeah. So yeah, he brought me in to this Apple world, and I'm working with some of the execs now and people over there, and got free Apple Watch, and I get invited to these really cool events for Apple with these cool mansions and meet other fitness professionals from around the world that are just crushing it and creating major influences. So that's the other investment that I made in Apple that, you know, has paid off exponentially not just monetarily in the stock, but just in the belief in its value, its core values as a company within their employees. You know, there's fingers crossed, there's some going to be some great potential with working with them in the future. And yeah, just, you know, they are, you know, they're a brand that just has that oomph. I call it a, it's just, oh, they're zipped up, sealed tight. They just sexy, like that, you know, they just have a, there's just something about it. Zipped so, you know, and I like that. Mm-hmm. It's sexy. It's cool. It's innovative. It's cutting edge. And that's what I do with my business and with who I am as a person, in which, you know, I try and present. So, yeah, Apple is the other one.
Yeah, I can definitely see that in you. You know, for people that haven't, you know, had you as a trainer before, and I feel, I don't even like to say the word trainer, because you're just not a typical trainer in the way that Apple's just not typical at all. You're just in a different category.
Thank you, brother.
Like it's totally different. I mean, for anyone who's passing by Los Angeles, like, you've got to stop by Steve's studio in Westwood. I mean, it's just,
don't just stop by. Make sure you email.
Well, yeah, make sure you email.
Make sure you email me. info@stevejordan.com before you just stop by. But please do. I would be honored to have you and show you what I'm up to. Yeah. And
it's an experience.
Yeah,
it's an experience. It's different.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I'm very fortunate to have learned, you know, from you at a very young age. I bring that same experience to my clients as well. A similar experience.
Yeah, no doubt.
That I feel I can offer, you know, supreme value, as, you know, compared to other trainers. Right.
It's awesome.
You know, we're in a different class.
Absolutely. And I'm so grateful that you had, and honored that you had reached out to me, you know, that 2-3 years ago when you were in a space of unknowingness, of uncertainty, of insecurity, of who you were even as a person and where you wanted to go, you know, in your career and life and college. And we had that hour conversation on the phone, and you know, I mentored you and just gave you some advice, and I wasn't expecting anything more than just that conversation. I remember your grandfather emailing me and asking me if I could spend a little bit of time with you on the phone. And after that conversation, you know, when you had asked me if you can come out with me just to shadow me for a couple of weeks, it was awesome. It was great. You know, I love mentoring. It's part of my personality of coaching, of teaching, of being a light for somebody who has a light that wants to shine brighter. I'm right. Like a conduit, you know, I'm like a generator where you plug into. And I love that, you know, to help somebody shine brighter. That's the whole Trainer to the Stars brand that I have, and my blogs, trainertothestars.com. It's not stars in the sense of celebrities. It's stars that we all are stars.
Right.
There are billions and zillions of stars in the universe, and we're all a star. And we all have star potential. The clients that, like you mentioned, like a Brad Paisley or Ariane Huffington, they're stars. Because they believed in themselves and in the process and in what they were able to offer. And they had, you know, whatever they had to create to get to where they were. But we all have that potential, no matter who you are, where you are, what you have, or what you don't have. Believe me, I've worked with all of them, a lot of them, and they have limitations. And they have things that are probably as hindering as you have, but they were able to manage it and able to work around it and work more on their strengths than focus on their weaknesses.
Right.
And so Trainer to the Stars is about training people just like you, the listener, and or Jordan, who has this, you know, who had this inkling of like hope or vision of light that he saw a possibility of being somebody like me in a career that he didn't really know too much about. But I helped to shine in on him and bring out best qualities
on him. Shine through me.
And shine through you and bring out the best qualities of him. You know, when I just got back from Rome on a trip with my wife for our honeymoon. I was gone for 2 weeks, and that was part of the reason why Jordan was here, was to cover me during my time away. And this was a huge opportunity for him to be to be alone and
run
my business. Yeah. You know, I mean, here, 20 years old, to have an opportunity to run a you know, a business that took me 10 years to build, and you know, a 20-year career to get to, and have, you know, very successful people who are leaders and crushers in their world, work and trust him and trust me to work with him, was a huge opportunity for both of us. And, you know, to come back and see that he did not just well, but he did great. And then he created opportunities for him to have social outlets with, you know, some of the clients and create some fun and have amazing experiences, very much like, you know, I was expressing earlier with some of the experiences I had that helped to shape who I am. You know, the more experiences that, you know, he has and around this, the more confident and comfortable he becomes in any kind of arena. So I'm really excited for him and his opportunities. And, you know, the listeners, if you're listening to his podcast right now, you're on the right path. Continue with, you know, his journey. I know that he inspires me, and part of the new progression in my business with the book and the podcast and the blogging is a result of him and, you know, his influence and motivation to help me see that opportunity, because I knew it was there and I've dabbled in it, and I still only dabble because I'm running a business and have many other things I need to manage. And my focus isn't 100% on this, but, you know, the point is that he's got a lot of light, you know, and I'm looking at his laptop now and he has a light bulb on it. I don't know if that's coincidental. Yeah. Right there, but it's kind of cool.
A light bulb that says inspire. Yeah,
it says inspire. Yeah. So it's kind of funny that that's there. But he's an inspiration, and
thank you.
He has a lot to offer. So I'm giving him, well, the word I'm looking for is kind of like the stamp.
Yeah,
of
the
approval.
Stamp of approval.
If I had a certificate, if I had a plaque, you would have it.
Oh, so, man. Thank you. I got Steve's stamp of approval. I got the plaque.
You do.
Oh, yeah. That's cool, man. So what is, what's your favorite book?
Ooh. The first one that comes to my mind that I've read several times is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. That was one of the first books that I read that I think you pulled it off my shelf. That it's really, it's like old. It's one of the first editions.
Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah.
That was the one. It's like falling apart, but it's
falling
super
apart.
Cool.
Super cool.
Super
it's
cool.
Like
1936.
Yeah. So very, one of the first editions of it, if it's not the first edition. So that's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. And then what's the worst advice you've ever heard? I don't like, I'll give you maybe a second to think. Fake it till you make it. I think fake it and you won't make it. Like, be real. That's the way to make it. Even if you fake it and make it, you're not going to make it for very long before people catch on. Like, people aren't stupid. You can seduce them for a second, maybe, but people are going to catch on. So fake it and you won't make it long term.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. If you work your abs more, you're going to see them more.
Spot
reduction or spot training doesn't work that way. I don't know. That's really, but some people, like, you know, these videos and health and fitness professionals out there that advocate, you know, oh, dude, 100 crunches or this or that, and it's like
only push up.
It's not just about that. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into creating, you know, a feel, a look, and a healthy and fit body that meets more than just the eye. So I think it's advice, something like that.
Yeah. You know what? It just reminded me when you told me last year that you broke your back, actually, when you were 29.
Yes.
And it was kind of because, like, all you cared about were the abs. Like, you just kept doing, you were freaking crunching, and not doing, you know, the stuff that really mattered.
That is
true. You kind of fell into that trap, and you paid the price at a young age. I can't imagine my back at 29. Another time, down and out.
Absolutely. That's a huge time of being down and out. I was 29. I couldn't felt walk. And looked like I was 90. I was bad, bad shape. I had a, I couldn't stand up straight. Anytime I had a cough or sneeze, I had to find a wall and brace myself. Oh, and I ended up having a couple treatments, one by your uncle, Uncle Jay, who did this like the traction machine where I went on, and it would like pull me, pull my hips, and pull it, and like that created even more pain. It was terrible. But he did his best, and then I had two epidural shots, which helped to stabilize me, but I was pretty far gone. And then your other uncle, Brian, had a conversation with me, and you know, I was nervous about back surgery because there was not a lot of success at the time 13 years ago with that. And you know, I've been obviously in a health and fitness role where I would try to encourage clients to avoid surgery and to avoid any type of things where a lot of stuff could be managed through exercise or physical therapy. And you know, him and I had a conversation. He's like, you know, you're like a professional athlete, and this is starting to affect your not just your personal life but your professional life, and you can't let that. You got to get back in the game. And it was a good four to six months of being in pain and really being inhibited. And based on that conversation with him, I made the decision to have the back surgery. And fortunately, I had it done with a great surgeon in New Jersey where my family was, where I could be close to home, God forbid, if something happened. Right. And I had the surgery, and within 2 weeks, I was back on a plane out to California. And a couple months later, doing things that I loved doing. And here I am 13 years later, knock on wood, pain-free. But, you know, I manage it. It's not like I don't have the luxury to just never think about it and it's gone. I don't think about it all the time, but I have to stretch and I have to stay strong. But we all do as we age. I'm 43 years old now, and I've been a very active and physical person. And that's how you got to roll.
Yeah, cool for sure. So what are three things that you know to be true of the world? Like, what's true for your life? What holds true?
Three things that are true. That you need to work hard for success. Success is a game, and you need to work hard. And there is no substitute for hard work. That's the first thing. I know that eating healthy and having foods that are organic and hormone-free and free-range and free sugar and, you know, drinking water helps you to age gracefully.
Oh, yeah.
You know, nutrition. I used to downplay nutrition many years ago because I was insecure, I think, that I didn't know enough about nutrition I didn't really preach it or promote it as much. I would say, I mean, early in my career, I would say, you know, I always had a knowledge, but I would downplay it as much. I didn't think it was as important. And I know now that it is very important. I would say it's probably 80%, you know, of the formula to create a healthy and fit person. And it's just not physically, but mentally. You know, I've seen even more now how nutrition is a medicine, and it can be as important for your mind and your spirit as much as it is for your body and how you look. I mean, I feel when I don't eat right that it mentally fog, I get, you know, brain fog. So that would be the second truth. And third and final is a body in motion stays in motion. Newton's law. And, you know, it's hard to take the first step, but once you take that first step, it's easier the next time.
Okay, cool. Those are good. Final question for you. What does life beautifully designed look like to you? If you'd have it any way you want it.
I don't think I'd want it any different than the way I have it right now.
Cool.
Yeah, to be honest, I love my life. I have a great life. I have an awesome wife. I have healthy family, my mom, my dad, my sister. We are all blessed with good genes and health and wellness. I mean, we all have our little things. I have great health and I have awesome friends and people in my life who love me and support me, and how I love great clients and people that I love and support in their own endeavors. And, you know, I have materially in possession anything I want and what I need and fulfilled in life. I travel often.
Yeah, you travel a lot. It's
I travel often and I travel well. Yeah.
I
travel often and I travel well. And I've seen and have done some extraordinary things.
You have.
So, yeah, just the way I'm living now. Just as long as I can keep doing what I'm doing, I'm living the life that I've always dreamed of.
That's fantastic. Well, I just want you to know, you know, I mean, you know it, and, you know, it's in my book as well. I mean, you've made a pretty profound impact on my life. You know, I can't say I'd really. I mean, you aren't, like, the one that did it. You know, you weren't, like, you know, you didn't control me, but you kind of influenced me in a way that, you know, I mean, the only other person that really influenced me so heavily was Brian. Uncle Brian, your friend and best friend, I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of funny how you guys are the two that kind of like saved me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we are very much alike. That's why we're best friends. I mean, him and I have a very unique relationship. We've been friends since like the fifth grade, and we've been through a lot. We fell off the balcony together. We've had a lot of ups and downs together. We've cried, we've laughed, we've played, we've done everything together in a lot of cool ways, and we can relate to each other. And we both knew there was something in you that, like, we would want you to live a life very similar to ours. So and you have everything that you need within you now to do that.
And
I have no doubt, and I know he has no doubt, that you're going to do that. And we watch you with joy and happiness and gratitude to see you grow. You've grown along. You've come a long way in 2.5-3 years. So keep doing what you're doing and being you. And the best part of you is just about to shine. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, man. Well, thank you for coming on the show, dude. It was awesome having you.
Awesome. Great being here, brother.
All right. There you have it, my friends. That was the one, the only Steve Jordan. And you can find him online at stevejordan.com. And if you just go to the homepage and hit hashtag I am healthy and fit, you will get what he calls his Five to Thrive every single Friday. Five to Thrive Fridays, where he sends out five things he's thinking, pondering, doing, reading, whatever. And he sends it out to you on Fridays, and you get it in your inbox just before you head off for your weekend. And it's, you know, I've found it in my own life to be refreshing and awesome. So you can go to stevejordan.com and sign up for that today.